Welcome back to the Sunday Morning Playground, Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online, WTK.com. As we enter the 11 o'clock hour on your Sunday, yeah, we're going 2 hours today, people. Obviously, we just broke down essentially everything that was Michigan-Penn State, 42-13, the loss. But I kind of want to break away from that. Let's break away from what I think is kind of the depressing. And let's just talk about some of the hoopla that was the rest of college football, shall we, boys? You like that idea?
Let's do it.
You ready, Tonio?
I'm ready.
All right. So I figure let's talk about the Big Ten as a whole. Obviously, if you look at the standings in the Big Ten East, it really is. It's basically right now a three-horse race between Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State. And then you've got the middle tier with Michigan and it's kind of confusing for me to say this, but Rutgers as well. Like, I who'd have thunk that Rutgers would have at least one conference win this season?
Let alone two.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think they'd have. I didn't think they'd have one. But who'd have thunk they got two after they knocked off Perdue yesterday. Then you got the bottom of the barrel, Maryland and Indiana. Maryland 1-3 and Indiana 0-4. In the West, well, it's basically Wisconsin's division to lose. 4-0, 7-0 overall. Nebraska and Northwestern at 2-2. Purdue, Iowa, Minnesota at 1-3. And then Illinois is just doing at the bottom at 0-4. The games yesterday was quite interesting. Northwestern knocked off Iowa to go 4-3. They win 17-10 at home. Wisconsin doing Wisconsin things. 38-13 over Maryland. Like I said, Rutgers surprising a lot of people in this building, knocking off Purdue at home 14-12. That's two wins in a row. Let that sink in. Rutgers has won two in a row. Minnesota came back, I believe, and beat Illinois 24-17. Michigan State against Indiana in probably one of the more boring Big Ten games of the night, knocking off Indiana 17-9. Which I'll ask the question right now, because obviously we know the other Big Ten game was Penn State Michigan. I want to ask this question to you guys, and if anyone wants to chime in, phone lines are still open, 734-998-1050. Earlier on in the week, LJ Scott was arrested for driving with a suspended license, and what, this was his seventh time? Seventh time getting popped for driving with a suspended license. You would have thought maybe like by the first one, maybe that's just me, that you would have, you know, gotten that app for a driver for you, or maybe, you know, pal up with some for some guys like, yo fam, I need to get from point A to point B, you got me. Apparently it doesn't even take seven times, apparently. Who knows, it might take more before he finally realizes I should probably stop. But I want to get your guys' thoughts on the LJ Scott playing in the game against Indiana. Your thoughts on this one, Babs? I'll start with you, man.
I want to know how he's even still on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, seven, it doesn't matter what type of, you know, it's a driving offense, but it's seven. Mm-hmm. There's clearly a pattern here that's not changing, and you have to enforce some type of discipline. I don't know if it was, I think he sat out the opening drive. I think that was like his quote-unquote punishment, but come on, I mean, seven offenses, regardless of what they are, no matter how minor or major, there's got to be some type of punishment that's warranted. And honestly, with this amount, I'm surprised he's even on the team right now.
I agree. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that, you know, just from like a outside of the football side, like from just like a legal standpoint, I mean, is anyone else not surprised that like there's not more major like legal repercussions for someone after having that many like offenses? Like, I mean, you'd think, right, that like, you know, the judge or somebody within that system would be like, would see that pattern after like the third, let alone the seventh, and be like, okay, this is whatever the current punishment has been is not working.
Yeah, and I'm kind of wondering what the hell, you know, D'Antonio is doing up there. Like, you're allowing a guy that's been in trouble with the law now for it's got to be more than seven times, because this is the seventh time he's gotten popped for driving with a suspended license. So he's been in trouble with the law beforehand, and everyone thinks that D'Antonio, he's the I guess a quote unquote savior, maybe, I don't know, for Michigan State. Which, for a record, congratulations, you're bowl eligible again. Go ahead with your bad self, but you're allowing someone that's been popped for the seventh time for driving with a suspended license, and yet you're going to turn around and let him play. I just don't get it. He had 87 yards on the ground, which led Michigan State, and then also had 15 yards receiving. He led the game in rushing, for the record. But yeah, Michigan State goes to 6-1, still undefeated in conference play. And who's Michigan State got next?
They got Northwestern. I think they're at Northwestern next week.
Okay, so basically, I mean, that in itself, that could be a trap game possibly for Michigan State. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe they're looking ahead to the Penn State game when they come to East Lansing as well. So we'll see how that works out. But yeah, that's just my like little two cents worth. Is like for a program that says that they're all gung ho about being, you know, that they want to kind of go away from like any kind of controversial stuff. You bring in your star running back who's been in trouble. Now, like I said, it's got to be more than seven times with the law, and you allow him to play. I don't get it. I don't get it. Top 25. Top 25, a little bit of a scare for the Cowboys of Oklahoma State as they go down to Austin, knock off the Longhorns 13-10 in overtime. Did you guys catch any of that game, by the way?
Did you guys see the ending?
I did see the ending.
Overtime?
That was the reason why I was bringing that up. Tonio, did you catch that too?
Yeah,
so in case anyone missed it, go to overtime. Oklahoma State, you know, they had the first possession. They kick a field goal. It was a freshman quarterback for Texas, if I'm not mistaken. And third down and goal or whatever like that. And you're don't get me wrong. I love the fact that they want to go for the win here. But if you're just lobbing it up, and your receiver decides to go with sideline, typically you want to start throwing towards sideline. And it's not like you have to get a touchdown at this point. But you lob it up, and you basically, it's like a punt right to an Oklahoma State DB, and that's how the game ends. An interception in the end zone, your receiver, and you guys look like fools.
Yeah, I mean, there was no one, like, hardly in the vicinity of catching that, except that Oklahoma State defender. And again, they're down. You know, they forced Oklahoma State to a field goal. You don't see anybody just toss it. But again, you know, he's a freshman. That's one of the harshest ways to learn. But
yep, that's probably the worst way to learn that one. So, there's no excuse for that, really. I mean, what are you going to come out and say? Well, we both have orange in our team color scheme, and I saw orange helmet. And come on, kid, come on. Obviously, I mentioned the Wisconsin victory over Maryland. Alabama does Alabama things. And, the only thing that they did do was allow Tennessee to snap their scoreless streak.
On defense, though. Didn't they have a pick six
to
score?
Yeah, that's right. It was a pick six, a 90-some yard interception pick six. Then Tennessee finally snaps their scoreless streak, but they still lose 45-7. Alabama just rolls.
Did you guys hear about the banner that was overflying Tuscaloosa?
I did not.
Actually, I think I did see, but I don't remember what it said. I just remember there were a bunch of words.
Tonio, enlighten myself and enlighten the people.
It said, "Butch, your mom still loves you."
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, this Poor is not Butch. Over the Tennessee stadium. This is over the Alabama stadium.
Oh, I know. I mean, you kind of go back to last week as well, the South Carolina-Tennessee game, and you show the crowd at South Carolina, and you just see, you know, or no, it was at Tennessee, wasn't it? Last week, Tennessee at South Carolina. And what ended up happening was the fact that you got a whole bunch of Tennessee fans that are just like doing their usual cross arm, like, my God, Can we just fire Butch Jones right now? And you got two South Carolina fans in the stands, and they're like, please don't fire Butch Jones, wearing shirts that say that. And I'm like, South Carolina, you guys are vicious.
By the way, on that pick six, did you see what happened after?
No.
So Tennessee runs it back. The guy that has it runs it back. There's a guy trailing him, and I think they were going to like the student section where Alabama's sitting, and they just flip him two birds. When they get into it. Now, mind you, they're down like 28 at this point.
Yeah.
And they just flip them off. Oh, it was incredible. They got so much heat on Twitter for that.
Oh,
just
I believe
got embarrassed.
It. I mean, that's the thing. You guys aren't humble. But, hey, if you want to go ahead and be that swaggy like that, then go ahead. But do it when you're up. Don't do it when you're trailing by 20-some points. I don't know. I don't get that.
And when you haven't beaten Alabama in like the last 11 times, whatever that is, that's Saban. I think Saban's like 11-0 now.
Yeah, Saban is Saban. That's all about it. UCF, number 20 in the nation. It was a little bit of a scare, I'll say that. They knock off Navy 31-21. UCF, first time in program history, going 6-0. Navy, 5-2. As we continue on, the one game I thought could have had a little bit of scare for an upset. Never really happened. It never really kind of panned out to be anything of it. Was Syracuse at Miami, Florida, 27-19. It was 13-3 at half, and you know, I thought that this could have been another upset special. To be honest with you, I know that Syracuse was on the road. I know that, and it's not so much the fact that I looked at them knocking off Clemson the week before. But there's something about being able to kind of ride the wave a little bit and maybe take that success into the next game. But obviously down in Coral Gables, not so much. Hurricanes improved to 6-0 as number 8 team. Let me ask this question, because now that it just kind of popped into my head. With Clemson losing last week, and they were on a bye this week, and Miami improving now to 6-0 as being number 8 team. Can we bring up the conversation that the possibility of Miami being that sleeper team to get into this college football playoff now? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I think so. I mean, they've looked good so far. And, I mean, looking at the other teams in the ACC, I think at this point they probably have the best resume.
They do have, in the next couple of weeks, they do get a couple of tough opponents. So Virginia Tech, who, aside from, again, the ACC not too strong. You got Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Miami as well. So that's going to be a huge game. And then the week after, they actually got Notre Dame too. Notre Dame, who embarrassed USC, and who's looking like they could be a dark horse too if they keep winning, even though they've got one of the toughest schedules in college football. But Miami can beat those two teams. I wouldn't see why not.
Yeah. So here's the rest of the schedule that Miami has. They're at UNC, so I think we can go ahead and pencil and get the pen out as a win there. Then they're home against Virginia Tech on November the 4th, home against Notre Dame on the 11th. So the quote unquote revival of the, convicts versus Catholics thing. And I know I'm probably gonna get a lot of flack for that, home against Virginia, which that could be a win there. And then they wrap up at Pitt on Friday the 24th. And if they run the table, the only team that I can see, there's two teams right now that's sniffing, they're right there on their heels, is Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech. Virginia, yeah, they're 2-1 in conference, they're 5-2 overall, but I mean, really, they don't have Clemson. They don't have to worry about Clemson. They already knocked off Florida State. They beat Georgia Tech, so they've got the tiebreaker there. This could be that Miami could be one of those teams that you could see possibly crashing that college football playoff party. Continue on top 25, Virginia Tech, easy pickings against North Carolina, 59-7. Oklahoma winning with 7 seconds left down in Manhattan, 42-35. That game, it was all K-State for a while.
Yeah.
It was, I honestly thought that was the upset. That game could have been the lone upset special of the day. South Florida improved to 7-0 after knocking off Tulane, 34-28. I'll be honest with you. I don't think South Florida is all that hyped up to be in the top 25.
Well, I mean, you look at that conference. The American is just a disaster, aside from, South Florida. And I believe Navy's in there too, right?
Isn't Central Florida in? I think Central Florida is also in that conference as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so like South Florida, Central Florida, and Navy, those are probably like the only teams. But really, I mean, the American Conference is still not that great.
Right. So, I mean, those really are the only two teams in that division. LSU knocks off Miami 40-24. Notre Dame, the big one that I think this was a great game to watch if you're a Notre Dame fan. 49-14. The Fighting Irish end up chasing out USC starting quarterback. I can't even remember his name. That's just how bad
Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
See, that's just how I feel about USC. You chase them out, I don't even care about you anymore. Auburn knocks off Arkansas 52-20. TCU embarrasses Kansas as per usual. 43-0. Number 4 team in the nation improves to 7-0. Yeah, do you think TCU is for real?
No, I don't.
Babs?
Kenny Trill, man.
Kenny the Thrill Trill.
He's I don't know if TCU is for real. I mean, must be nice to get, you know, a primetime game against Kansas. I mean, I was talking about this with Ira yesterday before the post game, like, and they even talked about it during, you know, the countdown to kickoff. Like, who in their right mind would schedule that for like an 8 o'clock on Fox? Like, Kansas hasn't won a Big 12 game. Maybe they might have won one in like the past decade. I mean, they've been horrible.
They beat Texas, didn't they, last year?
It was last year, the year before, and that was like their biggest win like the in program history.
Yeah, so I mean, that kind of proves it to you. So TCU improves 7-0, Kansas drops to 1-6. TCU schedule goes as followed. This next game is going to be interesting. They go to Iowa State. This ought to be an interesting game, considering that both teams are a top, you know, you got number one. They're number one and number two in the Big 12. Iowa State, you know, they're kind of impressive. I'll say that. So that next week's game between TCU and Iowa State, that's how that'll break down. Then they've got Texas and Oklahoma. And then, or at Oklahoma, then at Texas Tech, and then they've got the losers of Baylor to wrap things up. And yeah, I'll go ahead and say that they really are losers. Let's just put it out there. With the exception of almost pulling off the upset last night. Who'd have thunk that West Virginia would go in? And here's the thing. I looked at the Vegas line for this game between West Virginia and Baylor, and I thought someone was drunk in Vegas when they said that Baylor was a 7-point dog in this game. Baylor lost to Liberty. They're winless. They're 0-7, and you're giving West Virginia 7. You're giving Baylor 7 points here, and they almost pull off the upset late. West Virginia avoid the scare, 38-36, down in Waco, Texas.
I was hoping Baylor would be winless this year, but they do have Kansas on the schedule, so they're at least 1-11, which really sucks.
Who knows? Maybe Kansas may shock the world. Maybe Baylor will be an 0-12 team.
It is a home game for the Jayhawks, so we'll see.
You never know. And then wrapping up the top 25, Colorado gets shut out at Wazoo, 28-0, and Memphis back on Friday, Thursday, my bad. Number 25, Memphis, knocks off Houston 42-38. When we come back, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about something that I think some people may be on the fence about. And I spent more time, I think, watching this game than I did the Michigan game. And I want to get your guys' opinion. And, hey, if you want to call in, you want to give your thoughts on this as well, 734-998-1050. You're listening to the Sunday Morning Playground, Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, The Ticket.